WBSM presents The Tim Meisberg Show, streaming live on WBSM.com and the WBSM app. Call 508-996-0500. Send us app chat messages and open line voicemails using the WBSM app. Now, The Tim Meisberg Show.
Welcome back in, third and final hour of the program here on Tuesday morning. And let's go right back to the phones because we have a caller that's been patiently waiting. Good morning. You're next on WBSM.
Good morning, Tim.
How you doing?
Good. I stand firm as far as what people should, what kind of people, who should be hired. And as long as they go through some sort of a legal process, I'm really good with that. And green cards, whatever it may take, okay? I'm really against hiring somebody illegally in that regard, because I always believe the consequences will come back to you one way or another. That being said, 9 out of 10 people from other countries that I've hired are unbelievably great workers. And if there's no language barrier, I would go for these people first every single time. 1 out of every 10, and this is, I can back this stuff up. 1 out of 10 Americans under the age of 30 are really, 1 out of 10 might be good. The other 9, I can't even explain the issues that they have when you go and think you're trying to get these people to learn and to work as if their life depends upon it. In many ways, it does for survival. It's sad. And about 25 years, right after 9/11, I had 2 guys from Brazil that were working for me. One was here legally, the other one actually wasn't. But regardless of that, whatever jobs I gave these guys, they never complained, and they did them, and they did them right. One day I said to them, why is it you guys never complain about the work I give you? Because they weren't easy jobs. And one of them said, when you go to bed hungry enough at night, you'll do anything to change that. And there's a lot to be said about that.
Absolutely. And it seems like, too, like the Market Basket was doing this the right way, at least, you know, from what Market Basket is saying, because they were asking these people to provide the same paperwork they provided when they were hired. So, you know, these folks had these either a Social Security number or a worker ID number, whatever they called it. I don't forget the formal term, but they had that when they first started working there. But now they need to produce a valid one. So, as Council President Berger was saying yesterday, they probably just let those expire and didn't renew them because they had a job and didn't realize that they had to keep going back and renewing it.
Gotcha. Right. And you know what? You know, other than the language barrier is a problem when you're trying to communicate with a person a lot of times. But there's no substitute for a good work ethic. You know, and you can't fake a good work ethic. You can't. And a lot of the people that I've dealt with in the past that were from other countries, they just had this a work ethic that took place years ago in this country when everybody who worked, it seemed like had a decent work ethic for the most part. And a lot of that's gone with this generation. And that's you can't deny that. All you have to do is try hiring people, see what you get. And yet at the same time, a lot of people who came from other countries, they know they need to survive. They're willing to work. They come here to work. They work, and 9 out of 10 of them are exceptional workers for the most part. They show up every day and they do their job. That's half the battle right there.
Absolutely. All right. Well, thank you for the call, and thank you for your patience.
Yep.
Have a good day.
Yep.
And let's take another call, 508-996-0500. App chat is also open on the WBSM app, as are open line voicemails. Good morning. You're next on WBSM.
Good morning.
How you doing?
I don't know if you've ever worked with, I don't know, I want to say like floor-level workers, like Guatemalans, illegals half the time or whatever. But I don't know if you've ever worked with these people.
The ones that I worked with, I don't think that they were illegal because it was for a corporation. My last cooking job was I cooked at the distribution center for Talbot's that was in Lakeville. And a lot of their employees were people who were, they had a lot of people from New Bedford, and there was a good portion of Guatemalan folks as part of that workforce.
Right. Yeah. It's when you And I'm not talking about interrogating your coworkers, of course, because you're not going to get squat if you come across as interrogating. But just in conversation with Guatemalans that I've worked with over the years and my personal experiences with the temp agencies that hire Guatemalans, you get a whole lot of information. They just volunteer it. As far as the black market with Social Security numbers, with identifications, it's that insane to think about. And we've seen glimpses of it being proven. There's one after Bianco. They busted a business across the street that was manufacturing illegal documentation. And there was just one on Acushnet Avenue that was doing the same thing. Now, that's proven, you know, that did happen. Mm-hmm. So it's not just hearsay.
I remember writing about that, writing the news story about it, yeah.
Yeah, but listening to these people talk about it and just in general conversation, I can get this job down here at the fish house, but I need a new social security number, or I need new identification. Or there was a guy, he wanted to get overtime at a job. He couldn't get overtime, so he had to go and spend a couple hundred bucks on a different identification that he could file under and still be able to work, because they didn't offer overtime per employee. You hear stuff like that just in conversation. And if your mind is open enough to hear it or to believe it, that what you're hearing from these people, it kind of opens your eyes to the reality of it. But there is definitely a black market for these identifications. So my guess is with the market basket situation, they probably were just given who knows, maybe it was the Immigrants Assistance Center gave it to them or something like that, or led them in the right direction. Yeah, just take these cards, and just to get your paperwork done to work for Market Basket, but then we're going to need them back because we need to pass them along to the next people.
Well, that's a pretty bold accusation. You're accusing the Immigrants Assistance Center of fraud? Hold on, hold on. Your phone was cutting out. Hold on. Wait a second. Your phone's cutting out a little bit. Can't hear you. Try again.
Sorry. It's whoever is involved in that black market, whoever is in that business is.
Well, that was a person that was apparently committing a crime that ended up going to jail for it. Or paying a penalty. I don't remember if he actually went to jail, but still, that was a person that got caught doing it. I think there's a difference between somebody who's doing that on the black market and trying to accuse an agency like the Immigrants Assistance Center of doing something like that.
Right. I pulled that one. I just said it. I didn't, whoever it is that is involved with the illegal immigrant community.
I can tell you based on the Market Basket response in the media, they want the workers to provide the same information that they provided. So I'm going to read that as saying, like, don't show up with a different number and expect to have your job. Like, they're looking for the valid thing. And I was going to ask you, you can't blame the employer for doing this because they don't have the resources to go and track down if this is legitimate information. They just want to be able to put that number down on the paperwork because that's what's required on their end.
Right, exactly. So, we're kind of on the same page with that. That's what I was getting at with the black market thing, is these people just get, all you need are these numbers. Put these numbers down in the application, but we need those numbers. Those numbers belong to us, so we can pass them on to the next people and make money off it. That's that black market engine rolling. So I'm just kind of putting the pieces together in my head. Before jumping to conclusion one way or the other. But I'd encourage people, talk to these Guatemalans, and they will, a lot of them will come right out and say, yeah, I'm not here legally, but I'm just here to work. They'll fully admit that to you, but don't interrogate them because they might shy away. That's why they're so quiet and just kind of secretive. But in conversation, yeah, it's amazing what you'll hear.
All right.
And All right. You have a good day, Tim.
Thank you. Have a good day yourself. If you want to call in and react, 508-996-0500. But if that's the case, if what he's saying is the case, that these numbers are getting passed between person to person, well, there's got to be something then in the system that can flag that, right? There's got to be something that can, I don't know, you know, what the mechanism would be. We should probably have somebody in from the Department of Labor that could discuss that a little bit better. But some kind of flag that says, okay, well, this person, this same number is being used at this job, but it's also being used at this job, right? But let's see if the names match up. Let's see if the identities match up. And maybe that's what this was. Maybe that's why these people were under investigation. Again, we don't really know exactly what the issue was with these 47 people at Market Basket. It could have been, as Council President Burgo mentioned yesterday, it could have been that they had a number, a worker number that expired, because that has to get renewed. And I'm just going to defer to him on what he said about this. I don't know all the ins and outs, but because he works for the Department of Transitional Assistance, I think he would know about some of this stuff probably more than I would. So the idea that, you know, this could just be a paperwork error or a, you know, like how many times, I'm sure this has happened to you. It happened to me. I'm sure it's happened to many of you where you got pulled over and you say to the police officer, well, what are you pulling me over for? I don't think I did anything wrong. Well, your registration's expired. Or, you know, the sticker on your registration has expired. Maybe you renewed it, but you forgot to get the little sticker and put the sticker on the plate. You know, or maybe you were due for an inspection and you forgot to go get an inspection. I had that happen to me one day. I was driving when I had my pickup truck and I'm on my way to work and I got pulled over by a police officer that I knew. And I said, I don't even know what I would have done. And he said, your registration's expired. And I said, it is. I thought I had another year to get to it. He goes, no, it's expired this year. And I said, oh, well, all right. Well, I can go home and see if I can borrow, at the time I was married, I can go home and see if I can borrow my wife's car. And he said, no, just go online and renew your registration right now and I'll let you drive away. And so I did. I just went, I opened up my phone, renewed my registration, and he let me go. And I said to him, I said, would you do that for anybody, or is it just because we know each other? And he said, no, I'm not looking to kill somebody over this. Like, just renew your registration. It's so easy to do online. You can just do it. Then I see that it's valid and you can go on. Can't guarantee you won't get pulled over by somebody else and you'll have to pull that up again, but at least, you know, you'll know. So I'm sure we've all been in situations like that, right? So if that's the case, maybe that's what happened with these people and those numbers. Or maybe they didn't realize they had to get it renewed because they weren't looking for another job. They were at a job that they were intending on staying at, and so they didn't think they needed to keep it current. So maybe that is what triggered this. Or maybe it was that they realized these numbers were also being used with other names. As Market Basket said in their statement, it's something that has been under investigation since 2023. So I know that there was a mindset of, you know, this is the Trump administration just trying to take hardworking people and deporting them to keep their deportation numbers up. This started under President Biden's administration, this investigation into what's going on in Market Basket. You might say the Trump administration, you know, acted when they might not have had to. But this is Market Basket suspending these employees. This is not the Trump administration coming in and raiding Market Basket and taking people out. So I think there's actually been a lot of maligning of the current administration for something that they might not have really had a hand in. Now, Council President Burgo was saying yesterday, you know, this is the pressure that they're putting on businesses. And maybe that is true. But I think, you know, you've got to look at this as, if you're laying it all out, and if you feel like the Trump administration is being unfair to immigrants, if that's the position that you take, Well, then you have to still take that out of the equation here because it started under the previous administration. So you can't let that cloud what you're thinking about the market basket situation. Again, we try to look at things logically here. And in that particular case, this particular case, you know, maybe, and again, we only can speculate because Market Basket isn't giving us all this information, maybe they'd already given these folks a warning or an opportunity to get that paperwork in order, and then it came to this. And as I said to Council President Burgo yesterday, and maybe what's going on with the Market Basket management has something to do with this. That maybe this battle at the top has something to do with this. Maybe someone within Market Basket Corporate said, here's a way we can stick it to Artie. Maybe they said, let's get some bad headlines and say, see, look, this is the kind of operation he was running. There may be something more to it than just workers who have inadequate or incorrect or I can't imagine no proper paperwork at all. They must have had it when they were hired. Because again, this isn't, you know, this isn't a privately independent owned business where you can bring people in and have them work illegally or under the table. This is a publicly traded company. This is a company that has stockholders. This is a company that has ample applications of people who want to work there. They don't need to resort to hiring people illegally. They don't need to resort to hiring people under the table. They have plenty of people that would work there above board. And they don't certainly can't take the risk of doing it under the table just for their own benefit. So with all these factors involved, you know, we can only kind of make our own guesses at what's going on because, again, we're not getting the full information yet. And it's entirely plausible that a majority of those 47 people are back to work within a couple of weeks. I don't know how long it takes to get that paperwork squared away, but that could be the situation. But those couple of weeks without a paycheck could also mean that they might just say, you know what, I'm just going to go work somewhere else. Maybe they are going to go get an under-the-table job now because they've got to make ends meet while waiting for this other stuff to come through. So anyway, 508-996-0500. We can certainly take more calls on this, but again, I wish that we had more to the story. And as more media outlets are picking up on it, really they're just kind of rehashing what we already know. I think that you'll probably at some point get follow-up on this as to, you know, how many of these workers are back. I'm sure, you know, the New Bedford Light and Kevin Andre has been following all these stories. I'm sure that they'll be on that. But the important question to ask is, okay, well, if 27 of the 47 come back to work, why did the other 20 not come back to work? Because that will give you insight as to, you know, were they even supposed to be there in the first place? Again, I think as a publicly traded company and as a, you know, legitimate enterprise here, one that's under great scrutiny, I don't think Market Basket would take risks like that. I do have to take a break here, but let me get this call in before I take the break. Good morning. You're next on WBSM.
Yes. Are you on now?
Yes, we're on the air.
Okay. I worked in the medical field a lot of years and seen a lot of things, and Market Basket has good deals and stuff. And when I went to the bathroom one day, I opened up the door, and there's a guy just in front of me, and they were making deals right there in the bathroom around 4 in the afternoon one day. Long hair, and they had backpacks and everything, and they had stuff in their hands. And four people don't go in that small bathroom at the same time and hang out. And some of their backpacks are on the floor. I just turned around, walked out, went over to one of the supervisors in there and told him the situation. And he shook his head and goes, I can't believe this. I don't know what I'm going to do. I said, well, I don't know. You should know what to do. I know what I saw. And he says, oh, geez, okay, let me write this down, like all nervous and stuff. So, I mean, I like the store. I like the prices. I like the food. But, geez, you know, after I just heard on the radio what's going on with some of them, that they're not think they haven't got the right paperwork, you know, it's just it's sad. And it's, I can't believe a store would like that would do that with so many Market Baskets around. You think they'd have it together?
Well, I think they did have it together. I think the problem might have lied on those 47 workers to have that paperwork stay in order. I think Market Basket, if you're looking at it from that perspective, you could say they did the right thing by suspending these people until they can figure this out.
Oh, yeah, they did do the right thing. But I don't know how it even came to that point and why someone didn't pick it up a little early on a few at a time and get it corrected. And so many, was it 47 or 56 that got let go?
47, yeah.
Yeah, 47. And, you know, but, I mean, 4 p.m, the bathrooms, I don't know, that there's no way you can put cameras in there unless you see people go in, but you can't accuse them of anything. It's a hard times.
Yeah, I mean, you know, any public bathroom goes through that same type of scenario where they can't stop people from using it, and then, you know, people take advantage of it.
Right, exactly. But anyway, I just thought I'd let you know what I was thinking, and it's a sad time. I feel bad also about the fisheries. I'm hearing about them trying to make it, and they don't have the proper stuff, and some of them feel threatened, and these kids have to work, go to school, and then go back to work again. Boy, it's tough.
No, no doubt. All right. Well, thank you for the call. You have a good day.
Yep. Bye.
And let me get one more in before I got to take this break here, because I don't want to make them have to wait through the news. Good morning. You're next on WBSM.
Morning, Tim. That Market Basket situation, they suspended the workers with pay or without pay?
I am not
sure.
Did
they help them out?
I think it would be without pay.
They're pretty good. They're pretty good company. They'll probably say, you know, we'll pay you maybe half your salary until you get the paperwork.
I mean, the only reason I'm saying that I think it's without pay is because there's a story from NBC10 Boston where they're talking about how actually they got it from their Spanish-speaking station, but that said that it was that there was a woman who was very concerned because she has no money coming in now because her husband isn't working or something. So that would just lead me to believe that they're not getting any kind of pay.
Okay. I figured they would get some kind of a pay if they've been there for 3 years or so or longer.
I don't know. They might be.
Weeks.
They might. I'm just guessing based on what I read.
Gotcha. All right. We'll find out more.
I hope we do, because there's a lot of unanswered questions that people are asking, so.
Right. All right. Yeah, they're good workers. It's too bad. You know, they get the paperwork, then they take it away from them, and they leave them holding the bag, and this is what happens. It's like when we got suspended license, like you said, a sticker. It would get stopped, and yeah, your sticker's expired. It's easy. You just go next day and get an inspection. That's easy to do with them. It's not going to be so easy, I don't think.
Right, and I don't know how long that process even takes. If you had a valid number and it lapsed, I don't even know what the process is and how long it would take to be able to do that. It could be something that takes, you know, years.
Right, and it probably will, yeah. I'll see what happens. All right, Tim.
Thank you for the call.
Thank you.
And we're going to take a break here. When we come back, we'll have the news and then more with you. 508-996-0500. And then at 9 o'clock, Chris McCarthy will be back with you with South Coast Now.
Hey, I know I'm going to be the man who's heaving to you. But I will walk 500 miles and I will walk 500 more to be.
Now, you wouldn't want school kids to have to walk 500 miles to get to school, right? I mean, I guess some of them have to walk a couple miles if they live within, 2 miles of the school, but the rest of them, they need a ride to school. And you could be the one giving it to them if you are a bus driver or a van driver for Tremblay Bus Company. They're hiring bus drivers, van drivers, monitors, and mechanics right now. And if you are looking to earn some extra money, or maybe you need to work at a schedule that works around your kid's school schedule, Tremblay Bus Company is the way to go. You can find out more by going to tbcbus.com to find out more. TBC for Tremblay Bus Company, tbcbus.com. Get your application in now. You can apply right online, or the information's on there to go down to their office and apply in person. But get it in there now, because school is right around the corner and you could be helping those kids get to school. All right, it's time now to go into the newsroom and get all the top stories of the day from Phil Devitt filling in for Mike Roberts.
A New York skyscraper becomes the scene of a deadly shooting. Life-threatening heat creeps across the country, and this could be the key to lowering your Alzheimer's risk.
From the WBSM Newsroom, this is WBSM News.
Five people, including an NYPD officer, are dead after a gunman opened fire in a Midtown skyscraper on Monday night. Authorities identified the shooter as 27-year-old Shane Tamura, who killed an officer and four others before taking his own life. The slain officer was Dieterul Islam, age 36, praised as a true blue New Yorker. President Trump says the U.S. will set up food centers in the Gaza Strip. He met with U.K. Prime Minister Keir Starmer in Scotland on Monday to discuss the humanitarian crisis. The president expressed some uncertainty about Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu's claim that there is, quote, no starvation in Gaza. Trump's legal team is seeking an expedited deposition of Rupert Murdoch in his lawsuit, accusing the media mogul of defaming him in a Wall Street Journal article. According to the filing, Murdoch opposes the request, while the president's lawyers cited Murdoch's age as a chief argument to push for early testimony. He's in his mid-90s. Trump's $10 billion lawsuit stems from the journal's reporting on a birthday letter to late convicted sex offender Jeffrey Epstein. Trump, meanwhile, continues to deny any wrongdoing tied to Epstein and his infamous island, as Epstein associate Ghislaine Maxwell calls on the Supreme Court to overturn her sex trafficking conviction. A heat dome is bringing life-threatening temperatures to millions across the nation's southeast. Portions of the southeast, including parts of the Carolinas, Georgia, and northern Florida, are under extreme heat warnings. And according to the National Weather Service, those states could experience feel-like temperatures of over 110 degrees. According to forecasts, dangerous conditions likely to persist until a cold front slowly advances in on Friday. Baseball Hall of Famer Ryan Sandberg died Monday at 65. The beloved Chicago Cubs second baseman was a 10-time All-Star. His number 23 is retired by the Cubs. Sandberg had been battling prostate cancer. Football legend Deion Sanders says he was diagnosed with bladder cancer earlier this year. The University of Colorado coach made the announcement on Monday with his doctor. Sanders had his bladder removed, and his doctor said he is now cured. Spirit Airlines doing more belt tightening. The Florida-based discount carrier said it'll furlough 270 pilots this fall as it reduces its off-season schedule to cut costs. The airline will also downgrade more than 100 pilots from captain to first officer as of October 1st. And several new studies being presented at the Alzheimer's International Conference in Toronto this week deal with reducing the risk of developing the brain disorder. One study conducted over 10 years shows that people in their 70s who walk every day can reduce the risk of cognitive decline. Another major study demonstrates the importance of healthy activities, including good nutrition, playing computer brain games, and socializing, in addition to exercise. The research was conducted across the U.S., and it's the biggest randomized trial to look at how healthy behaviors can protect your brain.
WBSM Sports.
Well, the Red Sox have another game with the Minnesota Twins tonight out west. First pitch at 7:40, and hopefully no weather delays drawing this one out. And the Patriots training camp is underway in Foxborough, New England, practicing for the first time in pads on Monday morning. You'll love to see it.
Now, your ABC 6 South Coast forecast, brought to you by C Street.
Good Tuesday morning. Waking up, the temperature is a little above average. Most of us around 70 degrees. Some patchy fog still out there this morning, so be careful behind the wheel. And then be careful for a whole different reason this afternoon. It is going to be, how do I put this lightly? The surface of the sun outside? No, I know I'm being dramatic, but man, guys, it's going to be hot. Temperatures in the mid and upper 90s inland today. And even the coast, you're not exempt from the heat. You're going to see temperatures right around around 90 degrees on either side of the number as we get to this afternoon. With the heat, the humidity, and the sun angle, it's going to feel like the triple digits for a good part of the day. It's going to be sunny, but at this point, you're going to be wanting for shade, and make sure you're taking breaks in the AC and drinking plenty of water, too, if you have to spend any time outside. From the ABC 6 Weather Center, I'm meteorologist Christina Schallhoop on New Bedford's News Talk Station 1420 WBSM.
I'm Phil Devitt for WBSM News. Stay up to date with New Bedford's News Talk Station WBSM and get all of our content and breaking news alerts with the WBSM app.
This WBSM News Update is brought to you by Stevie's Wine and Spirits. Look for the purple dot to try before you buy. Only at Stevie's Wine and Spirits in Fairhaven.
Welcome back in. You know, for decades, Royal Grill Restaurant on North Front Street in New Bedford has been known for its authentic Portuguese cuisine. Right now, they invite you to come check out their new Dinner for Two Thursday specials for just $38.95, like chicken and shrimp, chicken and ribs, steak Diane, stuffed fish filet, or filet with shrimp. All specials come complete with a bottle of wine, whether it be white, red, or rosé. Follow Royal Grill in New Bedford on Facebook for more daily specials. Royal Grill and Restaurant, Royal Taste, Portuguese soul. Let's go back to the phones, 508-996-0500. Good morning. You're next on WBSM.
Hey, good morning, Tim. How's it going?
Good. How you doing?
Hey, a lot of these I-9s are being scrutinized right now, obviously because of the change in the administration. But let's face it, this is all shady companies who realized they were doing shady things, and now they're scared. So what they're doing is HR is going back in and going through their I-9s, making sure they're all complete, so on and so forth. Each I-9 or each offense that they get caught for can be up to, like, I think it's like $5,700. So just let's talk about just that one store for Market Basket. That's $5,000 times 47. Obviously, it ranges depending on if it's your first offense, so on and so forth. But this can hit them in the pocket. And that's basically what's going on, is these companies knew exactly what they were doing. They were looking the other way. And this goes, Tim, this is not just for-profit companies. This is non-for-profit as well. Because what happened is we had a lot of kids that were the undocumented children that were coming over without parents or family, so on and so forth. And there was a lot of nonprofits that were starting up these programs to, like, help out these unaccompanied children. And once that funding got pulled, they all shut, well, closed the doors or whatever. However, they were hiring people.
Oh, you cut out on us. There you go.
Looking the other way, because the people that they were hiring spoke the language. You know what I mean? So this is a bigger issue. Like, we could talk about the government. We could talk about the administration. At the end of the day, this is greed. This is people trying to take advantage of people. I mean, again, I brought this up numerous times. We have been 366,000 undocumented children, unaccompanied minors. More than half of them went missing, and now they're coming up in sweatshops. They're coming up here, that marijuana farm that got raided in California. Like, this is what's really going on. It's greed of the companies, and yet we're sitting here arguing with each other about being Democrat and Republican. We got to remember, we live in a capitalistic society. What does that mean? That means money by any means necessary. That's what that means. Who cares about the people? Who cares about their feelings? So on and so forth. And that's what aggravates me most about the last administration. It wasn't that. These people are people that are looking for better lives. However, this was a government that was trying to take advantage of these people. Whether people want to think of it or not, they allowed this mess to happen. And at the end, we're seeing the result. People suffering. So let's keep our eye on the prize and realize why we have this problem to begin with. You know what I mean?
All right. Thank you for the call.
Yep.
And just I got the statement here from Market Basket. This is what they gave to WJAR. It said that they said in 2023, the Department of Homeland In 2023, the Department of Homeland Security asked for the I-9s of employees at the New Bedford Market Basket. It investigated the paperwork of those employees and recently found several had not been properly updated, leading to their suspensions. Market Basket looks forward to welcoming the employees back to work as soon as they update their paperwork. So, for at least from the Market Basket perspective, as I mentioned before, these are suspensions, and it is a paperwork issue where, again, as Council President Burgo explained to us yesterday, those work authorizations expire, and they need to be renewed, and it was probably a matter of they felt like they had a job, and so they didn't have to update it because they got the job with that number, and so everything should be fine. And so maybe it just might have been information they were unaware of. Maybe there's a reason why they haven't been updated. I don't know. But from Market Basket's perspective, that's the rationale behind it. I got to take a break here. We'll be right back. 508-996-0500. That's what we need. We need more Iron Maiden in the morning. I'll try and live up to my end of the bargain on that. But 508-996-0500 if you want to call in and chime in. So got some information here. Apparently Raising Cane's is going to open in Fall River next week. So if you haven't been following along with that, Raising Cane's is opening up right next to the Denny's on William S. Canning Boulevard. So Raising Cane's, if you've never had it, they basically make chicken fingers. And in my opinion, they're pretty good, but it's good, but it's not anything to necessarily write home about. But Raising Cane's is going to be opening up in Fall River. And apparently, according to Google Maps, the Chick-fil-A in Dartmouth opens in September on its Google Maps listing. So, yeah, so that's what we're looking at for chicken places coming up. Of course, as I mentioned, Popeye's just opened in Wareham, and based on some of the things that I was reading, they've already got some of the same issues that the Popeye's in New Bedford has. But you can get your fill of chicken, I guess, because we've got it all. I'm trying to think, what don't we have for chicken now? Well, you got Chick-fil-A, you got Raising Cane's, you got KFC, you got Popeyes. Zatarain's is Popeyes, same thing. So I think you get a lot of chicken choices. Plus, of course, we have Crown Fried Chicken, we have Crispy Crunchy Chicken. There's a lot of chicken options. And that's not even getting into the, if I say it correctly, churrascarias. So you got a lot of chicken choices. But I think all eyes are going to be on Dartmouth and that Chick-fil-A because, I don't know, people go nuts for it. It's all right. So, anyway, 508-996-0500 in these last few moments of the program. We have Chris McCarthy returning with South Coast Now coming up at 9, and Barry Richard will be back after Bill O'Reilly at 12:15. So, they'll be well-rested and ready to talk with you about all the topics that you want to discuss about. Maybe Officer Taj. And the discussion about the New Bedford Police Department continues on. I know that Assistant Deputy Chief Carolla told Barry last week, they're doing a personnel review to see if there are other permanent legal residents that are on the force. Let me take a quick call here before I got to get my last break in. Good morning. You're next on WBSM.
Okay, we need a Church's Fried Chicken. That's the one we're missing.
I knew there was one I couldn't think of. Have you had Church's?
Oh, yes.
How is it?
Love Church's.
It
was always great.
What would you compare it to?
It was more of a traditional down south kind of recipe. They had fried okra and all the staples from down south, but I prefer Church's chicken.
Well, I'll have to try it next time I'm around somewhere where they have one. And there's none up here around here at all? Or?
None.
Yeah.
No, the closest used to be in Boston. When I lived in Boston, there was three. There were three there, and they were all since closed, but you've got to go further south now to get Church's.
Well, hopefully somebody's listening that wants to franchise one.
Okay.
All right. Thank you for the call. And, I also forgot to mention Birdie's Hot Chicken. As I said, I had that for the first time last week. It was very good. Maybe we need more Nashville hot chicken around here, too. I know, Tim. That's a lot of chicken. How much chicken can one person eat? You'd be surprised. As Jim Morrison once poetically put, I eat more chicken than any man ever seen. All right, let's take our final break and we'll come back and wrap things up. All right, I gotta wrap things up. I can't just keep playing The Cult, although I'd love to. What a great song. Great groove to carry you on into your day. And, of course, I'll be back tomorrow. Tomorrow morning, Chris McCarthy will be broadcasting live from the Museum of Madeira and Heritage from 9 to noon as part of the preparations for the 109th Feast of the Blessed Sacrament that kicks off Thursday night. And, of course, you're going to have a full weekend of all kinds of stuff. I've been watching the weather. Looks like Thursday and Friday there's going to be some threat of rain, but it's only about 30, 40%. So we'll keep an eye on that and see how.